Death had lost and life had won. I'm so glad, and I know you are too, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And we sang my favorite hymn this morning too. He lives. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living no matter what men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. What a great and wonderful old hymn. And we thank the Lord this morning. We thank God for sending His Son to die on the cross for us, and that our sins might be paid for, and that I might escape hell, have a home in heaven. Amen? My sins are forgiven. And thank the Lord that on the third day He rose again from the dead. The power behind the gospel is the resurrection. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to Numbers chapter 17. Numbers chapter 17. When I was a kid, we spent a lot of vacation time in Colorado at Silver State Baptist Youth Camp. And about every other year, my dad would find him a twig or find him a small tree. And he would cut that tree off at the bottom, you know, about 2 inches around. And he would take that tree and make him a staff, make him a rod. And my dad still has several of those in his house, at the house. We as kids used to play swords with them. And some of those he decorated. I mean, he whittled them and made handles on them and whittled crosses all the way down one side. One time he just whittled a spiral up all the way up it. And he took a lot of time and effort. I think he was bored during our vacations. And so he needed something to do. Or at least something to occupy his time away from the kids a little bit. And so he spent time whittling and making those staves. And again, even now at Christmas, sometimes we pull them out and hit each other with them. A lot of fun. Here in Numbers chapter 17, and we'll read and then we'll give you some background, all right? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, and all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name upon his rod, and thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. For one rod shall be for the head of the house of their fathers. And thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. And it shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom. And I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of witness. Verse 8 says, and it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and blossoms, and yielded almonds. And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel. And they looked, and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels. And thou shalt quit take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. And Moses did so, as the Lord commanded him, so did he. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time we can come and again gather around your word. We pray this morning as we look at this great illustration, this great picture of the resurrection, that it would be very clear as we teach it. But Lord, we know that you're the ones who gives understanding, and we pray that you would open the eyes of those here today who may have never accepted Christ as Savior. Maybe there's some here this morning who are skeptics and rationalists and just don't see any way logically that the resurrection could have happened. God, I pray that you would give them faith that they need today. We ask this in your name. Amen. Historically, we think about the children of Israel as they come out from Egypt. And God brings them over a period of a year. He brings them to the River Jordan. And because of their lack of faith, the children of Israel do not go into the land that God had promised them. And many of you, I think it was on last night, actually, Charlton Heston and the Ten Commandments and so forth. And you think about that particular movie, and it's, whatever Hollywood's done with it. But we think about the children of Israel coming to the River Jordan. On the other side of the River Jordan is the promised land that they have been promised. God said to Israel, this is your land. I promised it to you. Go in and occupy it. But because of their lack of faith, they did not enter the land. And so because of their lack of faith, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. To clarify again, this wandering was not necessarily, you know, wandering about with no direction. They were led by a cloud by day and led by a fire by night. In other words, they followed God as they wandered in the wilderness. The wilderness wasn't a big wilderness as we think of. We think of Colorado, we think of a lot of trees, but this was a desert place. And they wandered in this thing for 40 years. Well, during that 40 years, there was a lot of murmurings, there was a lot of bickering from the children of Israel against Moses. In fact, in my Bible, I've marked several times how many times the children of Israel murmured against Moses and murmured against God's man, and it was many, many times. And so here we have an account, just a couple of chapters before this, of another murmuring against Moses and Aaron. And one of them was Korah. Listen now, or you won't get the message. Korah murmured, and his family murmured. They were Levites now. Remember, Aaron was a Levite. He was the high priest. Everyone with me? And so Korah murmured against Moses and murmured against Aaron and said, why should Aaron and his sons be the high priests? Why should Aaron and his sons get to offer up the sacrifices? Why can't the other Levites, the other priests be involved in that as well? And God was simply saying, hey, I've chosen Aaron. I've chosen his sons. And they are the ones I've chosen. And Korah began to defy Moses and defy Aaron. And God said, all right, such and such a day, we'll find out who's really been chosen of God. And God ended up swallowing up Korah and his followers, 250 priests. He swallowed them up, and the Bible says they fell into the pit. I mean, they were just swallowed up into the earth. And you would think the children of Israel would go, oh, wow, man, that's amazing. I think I will follow what Moses says. I think I'll do what he says. I think I'll follow the Lord. But you know what they did? The whole nation began to murmur even more against Moses and more against Aaron. And there was about to be a riot as such. And so God said, all right, Moses and Aaron, stand back. I'm going to take them all out. And the Bible says that Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before God. Said, God, you know, don't do this thing. Don't do it. And anyway, because of their prayer, God spared them. But over 14,000 Israelites died in the previous chapter. So that's where we come to this particular chapter. And God says, all right, we're going to settle this once and for all. And so what I want you to do is I want you to take the 12 tribes, and each tribe, I want each tribe to bring their staff, their rod, and bring it before the Lord, to inscribe their name upon it and bring it before the Lord. Now, these rods were not just any rod. This is not like the rod my dad made when we were kids, and there's a couple of them, you know, laying around in the kitchen. These rods had historic significance. These rods were like, if we could think about in the days of the Knights of the Round Table and the days of those era when each family had their own crest and each family had their own emblem and it represented their family and so forth and even had a ring and insignia. This rod represented their family. The rod that these tribesmen, the rod that these Israelites, each tribe brought to Aaron would have been their fathers and maybe even their grandfathers and maybe their great-grandfathers. I mean, this rod had significance. And so they inscribed upon this rod. This rod also represented, as the American flag not only represents our country, but the American flag represents each one of us. So the rod represented each one that was in the tribe. And it was just a very significant thing that we don't want to overlook, the rod and its significance. So each tribe, there were 12, brought their rod that signified their tribe, brought that rod that would have been their father's father's father's, brought that to Moses. And Moses took the rod. The Bible says, God said, take the rods, inscribe the name of each tribe on the rods, and then bring it before me in the house of the Lord. And so that's exactly what happened. Each person brought their rod, and they brought it into the Lord. And God said, all right, the rod that blossoms will signify and tell us who is God's chosen one and God's chosen authority as by way of as it becomes the priest who will offer up sacrifices, who will lead the people spiritually. This will be the way in which we signify who that is. We will tell who it will be. The following morning, the Bible says they went out, and sure enough, Moses went in and found that one rod had not only had it blossomed, but it had budded, blossomed, and brought forth fruit. Isn't it amazing? God goes above and beyond. You know, by the way, all this happened in one night. Understand now, this was a dead stick. Alright, that's pretty simple. This was a dead stick. A dead stick. No life. Cold stoned dead. I mean dead. No life. Many of these sticks have been in the family for generations. Some of these sticks could have been, these rods could have been 100 years old. No telling how old the one that Levi had was. No telling how old that rod was. But it was brought before the Lord. It was laid before the Lord. Can I tell you this morning, before we even get into the message solidly, that God can do anything? If God can make the world, and God can make the sun, the moon, and the stars, that God can do anything. He is the self-existent one. He is the sovereign. He's above all. He is God Almighty. And God took the lifeless, dead stick and made it to bud, blossom, and bloom. Isn't that amazing? Brought forth fruit. You say, boy, I don't know. Well, we see again the results in verse 7 and 8. And the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded and brought forth buds and bloomed, blossomed, and yielded almonds. The almond tree, as we learned during the conference, and Brother Stewart brought this up, the almond tree was the first fruit tree to bear fruit. It was the first tree to bring forth its blossoms, to bring forth its fruit in the spring. So whenever you saw the almond tree began to blossom, you knew that spring was upon us, that spring was a beginning, and that winter was ending. The almond tree was the first tree to wake up from winter. As I think about that, I think about Jesus Christ, who the Bible says was the first fruit from the dead. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He was the first fruits. And someday those who've accepted Christ as Savior will be the following fruit. Amen? And He was the first fruit from the dead. Again, we think about, and I'm going to go over and read Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. The Bible says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. So if, listen to this again, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Jesus Christ was the first fruit of the dead. He rose from the dead. And the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead, and those who have that Spirit dwelling in them, will He also raise again, or will raise one day. Amen? Romans 8:11. And so those of us who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, those of us who've accepted Christ as Savior, Jesus Christ is the first fruit, but we will be that second fruit. We will, because the Spirit dwells within us, and that Spirit raised Him from the dead, so will He raise us from the dead. Again, this was a dead stick, a dead rod that was made alive. Made alive. Lifeless, a lifeless rod. Jesus Christ there on the cross was dead. He was laid in the tomb. He was dead. He did not swoon. He did not pass out. Can I tell you, this morning His heart stopped. He was dead. He was physically dead. The Bible says in John chapter 19, verse 33, that when the Roman soldiers came to Him to break His legs, and they would do that, during these crucifixions, especially right before the Passover was to take place, because they had to bring the bodies down, they would break their legs to help them die faster. When they came to Jesus, John chapter 19 and verse 33 says that they broke not His legs because He was dead. He was dead. The disciples who were there with John and Mary, there was some looking out from the outskirts. The Bible says that none was with Him. Looked, He was dead. They saw Him die. Can I tell you this morning, there was not a question of whether He died or not. In that day, you read all the accounts, all the testimonies from the disciples and others, And there was no question that he was dead. In fact, when Peter stands up and preaches on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, there was no question of his death. Those were there had seen him die and seen them take him off that cross and see him buried. He was dead. All accounts, he was dead. Dead. That dead rod, that dead stick, had no life in itself. Had no life. It was dead. But the Bible says when the women came to the tomb, that the tomb was empty. When the women came to the tomb, the angels said, "He is not here, for he is risen. He's alive." That which was dead, that body that was dead, was alive. Not only can I say it was alive, but he is alive. The Bible says he's alive forevermore. The skeptics would like to, in this day and age more than ever, would like to take away and make fun of us who believe that a person could rise from the dead. You know what? There's always going to be skeptics. There's rationalists who would say, well, that logically just doesn't make sense. Okay? There's always going to be rationalists. There's always going to be those who say, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make logical sense. Well, you got to have faith to believe. Are you saying, Pastor Crawford, are you saying, preacher, that you believe that a person who was dead was made alive? Absolutely. Do I believe the rod that was put before the Lord that may have been 100 years old, that rod the next morning was alive? Absolutely, I believe it. Because God can do anything He pleases. That's where it starts. God can do anything He pleases. Because He is absolutely all-powerful. It's nothing for God to raise somebody from the dead. Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. He is risen. Love that old song, "Up from the grave He arose, with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose of a tempter from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose." He arose, a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. Jesus Christ, the bodily, who died bodily, also rose again from the dead on the third day. Today we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. And I can tell you today, 2,000 years ago, He died on that old rugged cross and they buried Him in the tomb. But 3 days later, He rose from the dead. The lifeless became alive and He's alive today forevermore. Lastly, we see that they saw Him. Look in verse 9, it says, "And Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod." So Moses didn't go into the tabernacle and simply, okay, the rod's budded, and leave it in there. He took all the rods, gathered them up. I imagine maybe he held the other one separately. Came out and said, "All right, everybody have the rods back. But look what happened to Aaron's rod." Can I tell you, when they were questioning the authority of Aaron and his priesthood, they weren't just questioning Aaron's authority, they were questioning God's authority. God had placed Aaron in that position. And they began to question that authority. And God was simply saying, "Look, I have chosen Aaron. I have chosen his sons. I have chosen," can I tell you this morning, that Jesus Christ was chosen of God to die for our sins, to die on the cross for us, that we might have everlasting life, that we might live forever with Him. And He was chosen of God. Listen, many times we question maybe what God has done or maybe what God is doing in our lives. And we question maybe thoughts of the accounts that are happening to us physically, financially, whatever. Can I tell you that God's in absolute control? That God's authority is above all? That God doesn't sleep? That God knows exactly where you're at and what's going on in your life? That God is not very far from any of us, according to Acts 17? Amen. God is absolutely above all. He does what He pleases. As they questioned Aaron's authority, so they questioned God's authority. And God simply said, "Hey, look, I've chosen this man. I've chosen this man. Look, this is the rod that was dead, now it's alive. Listen, Jesus Christ was the rod that was dead and now is alive. And it's not just the witness of Moses and not just the witness of those who may have been there. But look, it didn't just blossom, but it budded. And it brought forth fruit. Acts chapter 1 says that Jesus showed himself alive after his passion or after his death by many infallible proofs. Acts chapter 1. Jesus Christ, after he rose from the dead, didn't go hide somewhere. But the Bible says that he was seen of them for 40 days. That he was seen, above 500 people saw him. See, everyone knew that he died. That was not the question. The question this morning is he alive? Again, the question is he alive? Do you believe that a person who was dead can live? Absolutely. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He was seen to the disciples. By the way, it says he was seen after his passion with many, and we remember Brother Stewart brought this up. Some new translations say Acts chapter 1 says convincing truths. But the King James says that these were inalienable truths, that these were absolute truths. In other words, he showed himself by many infallible proofs. Absolutely showed himself that he was alive. They touched him. Listen, he wasn't an apparition. He wasn't a ghost. They touched him. They touched him. They touched his body. They saw him eat. This wasn't a ghost. He was alive and he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs, not just a few, but a many infallible proofs, truths that he had risen from the dead. For 40 days he talked with them. For 40 days he walked with them. For 40 days he taught them. The Bible says he taught them those things concerning himself from the Old Testament. Many infallible proofs. He showed them. Acts 10:40 says, God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Acts 13, it says, but God raised him from the dead and he was seen many days of them. And then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He lives today. He's risen. He's in heaven today, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He made that once and final sacrifice for sins and now is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The rod that was lifeless, the rod that may have been 100 years old, came alive. Came alive. Not only did it just come alive, but it budded, it blossomed, and it brought forth fruit. Jesus Christ was dead. He was dead. He was dead. But now is alive. Alive. Well, that doesn't make logical sense, but it's true. Well, I can't ration that out, preacher. I've heard many messages on Easter and other times, and I've heard the gospel. I know that I understand and know that the Bible says that Jesus Christ, that he lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years, that he did so that in order that we might have everlasting life, that he was buried, that he died on that old Roman cross, and that he was buried, that he rose again. I know the Bible says that, but believing it is another matter. Well, you're questioning God's authority. You're questioning God's authority. Can I tell you this morning, God can do what he pleases? Can I tell you this morning that God can do anything? God can do anything. We just read three verses a while ago that says that God raised him from the dead. And we know the whole Trinity was involved in the resurrection. The Holy Spirit was involved and Jesus Christ himself was involved. But here we want to make very clear that God made the rod to bud there in the Old Testament in Numbers chapter 17. And in the New Testament, it was God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That he died bodily is assured that it is true. That he rose from the dead is true and assured by many infallible proofs. God raised him from the dead. And when you question that, and there's always going to be skeptics, and there's always going to be those who try to ration it out, but it takes faith to believe and to trust and to know, assuredly know, that Jesus Christ is risen and alive today. they murmured and they complained and they rebelled still more against Him. And that they questioned God's authority. And what happened to them? In Numbers 16, 17, what happened? Destruction came. And can I tell you this morning? Can I tell you? The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages of rebelling against God is death. And Revelation says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Can I tell you? The questioning of God's authority and the questioning of God's ability to raise Jesus from the dead will send you to the devil's hell. And the Bible says that hell wasn't made for us. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And why would you question God's ability? And why would you question God's authority? Why won't you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and God's ability to raise Him from the dead? Why continue to be a skeptic? Why continue to try to rationalize it? Just simply put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rebellion and sin brings destruction. But life comes from Calvary. Life comes from Calvary. The rod that budded was brought to life by God Himself. And can I tell you, one day we will be that second fruit. One day we will rise, whether in the rapture or or when Christ returns, and we may be in the ground, but we will rise from the dead. We will blossom and bud and bring forth fruit. Do you know that you know that you know today that you're saved? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Has there been a point in time that you can go back and say, yes, I know assured that I have trusted in Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ lived. I believe that He died. And I absolutely believe that He rose again from the dead. There's life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the life to come, but life now. In Numbers chapter 20 and verse 9, the children of Israel continued to wander in the wilderness. And they got real thirsty. They got real thirsty. And again, this wilderness is not like, you know, we think of Colorado, we think of East Texas, or with all the wonderful pine trees and the bristling brooks and the abundance of water and the abundance of game to eat and fish to eat. I mean, this was not that way. They were in the wilderness, a desert place. And God provided for them everything they needed, from water to food to bread to meat. He provided everything for them. Boy, we have a gracious God. Even though they rebelled against Him, even though they murmured against Him, God provided for them. I mean, isn't that a gracious God? Isn't that a loving God? Here in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 9 it says, and Moses took the rod from before the Lord as He commanded him. See, God had told Moses, He said, all right, children of Israel need water. We're gonna get them water. And I want you to go back in and take that rod that budded, and I want you to go and get that rod and take it from before the Lord and speak to the rock with the rod in your hand, and the water will come out. Can I tell you this rod is a picture of life. They would die without water. And can I tell you this morning that you will die in your sins without spiritual water, without that water of life that only Christ can give. Christians, we have the water. And as Moses came out and showed that budding rod to the congregation, so should we show Jesus Christ and the benefits of knowing Christ, the living water, to our neighbors, to our co-workers, and to the city of Haslett and the state of Texas and around the world. Jesus didn't hide in the corner for 40 days. He made Himself known. And as Christians, we shouldn't hide in the corner. We certainly shouldn't put our light under a bushel. But we should shine forth what Christ has done for us. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Do you believe that He lived, He died, and rose again? Amen. Let's all stand. We have a verse of invitation. Jesus is alive. Jesus Christ is alive. And He's alive forevermore. He now sits at the right hand of the throne of God. You say, why would God send His Son for us? The Bible says that God sent His Son for us. He commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope you're saved this morning. If you're not, we're kind of one of them old-fashioned Baptist churches, and we have what we call an invitation. And what this is simply an invite to you to step out of your chair and come down to an altar here. And we have workers here that will show you from the Bible, not our opinion, but from the Bible, how you can have everlasting life. They will lead you to Christ. They will show you that rod that budded. They will show you the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian, this morning, if you're here, let's be reminded that we serve a risen Savior. And we should be so thankful for that. And we should show Him to others. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time that we've had to come and worship You. And Lord, we thank You for this wonderful, wonderful picture in the Old Testament of Your resurrection. And God, we don't question Your authority. We don't question Your power this morning. But we are so thankful for what You did for us by sending Your Son to die on the cross for us that we might have everlasting life. I pray this morning You would open hearts, that You would give understanding this morning. Lord, that You would enlighten the eyes of the congregation that's here this morning. We ask this in Your name.